Welcome to The Weekly, a podcast brought to you by Calvary Bible Church. I'm your host, Jay Ewing. Thanks for listening in or clicking on YouTube to our video this week. We have a great show for you today as we have Gary Osborne, one of the pastors on the Erie campus. Like always, do me a huge favor, go to calvarybible.com, click your campus, find out what's happening in your neck of the woods, especially in the Christmas season. As you visit calvarybible.com, click on the banner Christmas. We would love for you to step in with us on this very special season. All right, enough from me. Let's get to the show. Welcome, Gary.
Thanks, Jay. It's good to be here this morning.
Yeah, so good to have you on the podcast.
Thanks for inviting me.
Yeah, you had a great preach on the theme of love this last week. Really appreciated that, especially with Advent. The candle we lit was the love candle as well, which was pretty cool. Just sort of another week of the Christmas season here at Calvary.
Yeah. It's great to be here. I'm looking forward to talking about whatever you desire to talk about today.
Well, speaking of that, I've got to issue a formal apology to those who listened last week. I made a horrific mistake that the producer of the show underlined in the YouTube to correct me, but I want to read you a letter I wrote to my listeners this morning. It said, "Dear friends, I want to sincerely apologize for the mistake I made in referring to Jingle Bells as a Thanksgiving song. I understand now that it's widely recognized as a Christmas classic, bringing joy and festivity to the holiday season. Misplacing its origin and significance was an oversight on my part, and I regret any confusion or disappointment this may have caused. Upon reflection, I realize that Jingle Bells has a more profound history than I initially appreciated. When it was originally written in 1850, its ties to winter celebrations, and that includes the Christmas season. I take full responsibility for my words and oversight when I represented Jingle Bells so poorly in my comments last week on the podcast. With humility and gratitude, Jay Ewing."
Like, how serious am I supposed to take that right now?
Not serious at all.
Okay. I just didn't know what I was getting myself into.
You know, if you watched it or listened to it last week, it was a train wreck.
Sorry, I missed it. Yeah. It sounds like you got that information from your kids at school.
I did, and they probably got them from teachers who are educated.
What are they teaching these days?
I don't know, but it was a mistake on my part.
Well, thanks, AI, for writing that apology.
Thank you, AI, for writing that apology. That is right. No, in all fairness and fun, it's so fun that you're here. We're in the Christmas spirit. What is your favorite? It doesn't have to be a Christmas carol. What is your favorite Christmas song?
OJ, you asked me a question that I actually have a song, but I don't know the title of it.
And
I can't sing it at all. And I don't even know who wrote it, but I wrote a message about it.
Okay.
It was a song that has the idea of when Jesus was born, did he know that he would die and his death would save the world?
Mary, did you know?
It's not Mary, did you know? It is definitely not Mary, did you know?
I don't know. It sounds like Mary, did you know?
No, it's not. It actually, when I think about what it was, I feel like it was from The Fray.
Okay.
But I don't think that's correct. And so
we're stumbling again on another Christmas song. My producer is going crazy behind the scenes. I'm sure.
I was asked this question yesterday, and I should have went and figured out what the name of the song was, but I didn't, and so I'm just a real total failure.
Okay, but what is your favorite Christmas movie then?
I think I like the classic National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
There's a lot of people who have said that.
I love that. I have great memories of my dad and I watching it, and like I still remember. And my dad was an older, stronger man, and I remember watching that sledding scene. Yeah. And just him flying down the hill and my dad like tearing up because he was laughing so hard. And so I think that's just always a memory that I'll have of just every time that scene comes on and then just how funny it was watching with him. I don't know how old I was at the time, but I was a kid.
Yeah, that's really fun. That's really the other week in staff meeting, you shared a really fun story about what your grandpa would do with your Christmas present each year. And that's really special for you to share that. I think it's really special for Calvary to hear this story when your grandfather passed away when you were 12, so this has real significance for you.
Actually, I was 8.
Oh, 8.
Yeah, okay. I was 8 years old when my Papa Bud passed away. And he was this great man. I had a lot of super fun memories with him. He would take me on treasure hunts and do all these fantastic things. But at Christmas, there was a couple years I remember that there would be this incredible gift. And it was typically the last one that was opened up on it was Christmas Eve, because we met with my mom's side of the family on Christmas Eve. And it would say, "To Papa Bud from Gary." And, you know, being 6 years old, I didn't get my grandpa anything. And so he would open it up, and it would be the most awesome gift there was. I remember 1 year, it was like this incredible remote control police car. And he opened it up. He was like, "Gary, thanks so much for this car. That's what I always wanted." And then he'd open up and he'd drive it around. And then after a little bit of time, he'd let me use it. And then I would get to drive it. And then by the end of the night, he'd be like, "Hey, would you like to take this home?"
Oh.
And I remember him doing that for a few years on those kind of big, kind of fun, special gifts.
Yeah.
And it's just a great memory of, like, he made it. And I was always wondering, how did that happen, right, that I got him this great gift? And I think everyone else in the room, all the adults, thought it was the funniest thing.
Right.
It definitely would have been like an Instagram reel at this point, but.
That's really sweet. What a great Christmas tradition.
Yeah.
Sort of memory for you. Yeah. Talk about extravagant sort of gifts and things. Love, God's love. You talked about it in John 3:16 was our main text for the morning. You know, as you started preparing for this message on love, what were sort of the things that you were wrestling with the weeks ahead?
You know, I just think the idea of love and how we experience is so hard. And so what I kind of was doing, I just was reading a lot and just finding all these incredible stories where really I'm at my desk like in tears, just kind of reading through these stories. And so that was kind of the approach I then took, was taking these biblical stories and seeing how we're all at different places in life where we feel abandoned by God. Maybe we feel like we've rebelled against God. Maybe we feel like we've never really known God, and we've just been hurting so bad in our hearts and our minds. And I was like, okay, I think that's where a lot of our people are that are sitting in the audience. I know those are the things that I've experienced in my life. And so I just wanted to attempt to show that God has a story in his Bible that connects to the heart of the abandoned, to the outcast, to the sinner, to the rebel, to the hurting, that, like, there's a story in God's word where Jesus does something radical to express his love for those individuals.
Yeah, we talk about this radical sort of love. How's that different than human love? You know, we hear great stories of love in, you know, TV and movies and literature and all those type of things, songs. How's that different than God's love?
You know, I think we see little glimpses of it as humans. But it's that unexpected love that we experience in a story or even in our own lives that we don't deserve it. I think that's probably maybe the word that comes to mind, is like, it's when someone loves you even though you don't deserve to be loved.
Yeah.
And so I think that's what God does for us, is despite who we are, what we've done, the things that we are embarrassed by, God still loves us no matter what. And it's a really hard thing for many of us to understand, and at times for myself, like, I never felt worthy of God's love because of all the things that I had done to hurt him.
Right.
And to really begin to understand that God just desires relationship with us and to make us right.
Yeah, that's really cool. We talk about John 3:16 is right in the middle of this really famous story where Nicodemus comes to Jesus at night to ask him questions. And Jesus has this unique language of, "You must be born again." And Nicodemus is really very confused by that, right?
Oh, 100%. And I didn't think about this. I didn't want to say this from the stage because I think it would have lost all credibility, but I'll share it here. Do you remember Ace Ventura?
On the podcast. That's pretty good.
Yeah. Remember Ace Ventura, Pet Detective?
Yes.
In the rhino scene?
Oh, yeah. The opening. Oh, that's one of the.
That's the thing. When I think of being born again, I think of Jim Carrey coming out of the rhino because he's sweating so hard in there. And then everyone's like, "What just happened?" And I'm like, Is that what Born Again would look like? Yeah. So that's, I left that on the cutting room floor.
I'm glad you did, but I'm glad you brought it to the podcast.
But that's just kind of what I was thinking is like, oh, that's like a whole human.
Right.
Now it's coming out of a rhino. It's a little obscure and weird, but
yeah,
you know, now maybe some of you are going to go back and watch Ace Ventura Pet Detective.
I think
again.
It's the second one. That
is
that,
it?
Yeah. That's the beginning scene. You know, I grew up in that era, so I appreciate that. Yeah. The word that Jesus uses with Nicodemus is agape.
Yeah.
Now, as you sort of did your study on the word agape, have been around that biblical word for a long time, how does that challenge or expand our understanding of the word love, especially with Nicodemus receiving sort of that phrase?
Sure. I think that's one of the things that's hard in our language is we say love for a lot of things.
Right.
Right? Like
I love tacos.
Oh, me too, right? Like, I love tacos.
And pizza.
I love SEC shorts.
Yeah.
And if you don't know what that is, you should go check it out because it's a good thing if you love college football like I do.
Right.
Or I love my kids. Or I love my wife. Or whatever it is, we say love a lot, and it kind of almost becomes flippant. Mm-hmm. But in the Bible, there's a lot of different words used to express love. Like there's story love, which would be the idea of that you love, like I love tacos. It's a thing. It's an item. That's, I like this thing.
Right.
Then there's, you know, phileo love, which is like a brotherly love. Man, I really have a great relationship with Jay, and I just love him as a friend, right? And then there's the eros love, which is, man, I love my wife and want to be connected to her. That's another love. And then right. There's this idea of agape love, which is this unconditional, never ceasing, never giving up, unbreakable bond that the Lord has for his people. And so, and I think I tried to describe it, you know, and the best I could in human terms is like when your baby, you're holding your baby for the first time and they can do nothing for you and you're looking at it and you are going to do everything for them and get nothing in return, you know, other than spit up and other bodily fluids. Yeah. But you don't care because you just love them so much that you want to do it. I think that's the tenderness that the Lord loves us with. Yeah. We can do nothing for him. Yet he continues to provide, guide, care, protect. Yeah. And that's just the heart of the Lord.
If you want a meditation on those four loves, biblical loves, used in the scripture, I think C.S. Lewis' book, The Four Loves, is a great book for us to understand sort of the four categories in which God loves us and we love each other. And a classic sort of Christian book that should be on our shelves. You used some stories. Now, you used Nicodemus, the sinful woman, the woman who had issues with bleeding, Good Samaritan, prodigal son. Out of all those stories, which one was like in this week and on Sunday morning really stood out to you as a personal, really like, man, I can't believe God showed up his love to that individual?
You know, I think for me recently, I've really struggled with feeling abandoned by God in my own heart. Like, okay, God, are you really there and there for me? So you mentioned all these stories. Maybe the one connected to me was the one of the Good Samaritan where the Jewish man was walking alongside the road, minding his own business. Hard things just came out of nowhere.
Right.
And left him half for dead. I think sometimes I've felt like that in my life. Lately the most. And so just feeling like, man, God, are you there? Or did you just leave me on the side of the road? Mm-hmm. And then remembering, like, God has always been there. He'll never leave me. He'll never forsake me. Mm-hmm. Nothing can separate you from the love of God, right? No, nothing. But man, sometimes, Jay, that's really hard to go from your head to your heart when you feel hurt, sad, broken. Mm-hmm. This is real.
Yeah, that's really honest, Gary. I'm super thankful for that honesty. Yeah, I think with so striking with the Good Samaritan is that God uses a unique means to provide and care for him through the Samaritan. And the story is really about who's your neighbor, right?
Totally.
But it really does speak devotionally to our hearts that, like, man, no matter who doesn't show up, God shows up and uses someone to show up, that we will be really surprised at who he uses and yep. cares for your needs.
And that's exactly right. I think even in this season, like, there's been a variety of different people who have come alongside me mm-hmm. and tried to care for my heart in the midst of really hurting. Mm-hmm. And so that's just a gift from the Lord. But I think there's times we feel abandoned mm-hmm. and we feel like the Lord's not listening to us.
Right.
And it's probably why that poem I shared, Footprints in the Sand, was so famous.
Right.
Was because, oh yeah, that's how a lot of us feel, that where were you, Lord, in those hard times? You know, even David says, how long, O Lord?
Yeah.
And yet the scriptures remind us, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Mm-hmm. Nothing can separate you from my love.
Totally.
I'm always here.
Yeah. I love that Davidic psalm, especially you two singing it in their song 40. How long, O Lord, mm-hmm. will we sing this song? It's like, you know, even in Christmas, it's okay that we step into Christmas every year in a new way, right? In some years, we step in with a lot of joy and excitement. Some years, we step in with a lot of hopefulness and peace. And some years, we start in grief. Maybe this is the first year someone has lost someone yeah. who they has spent 40 Christmases with. You know what I mean? In some years, we step into this feeling lonely and isolated and abandoned. And I think the Christmas season speaks to all those in a way in which is very unique in sort of our culture and our church calendar. Does that make sense?
Yep.
So if someone is feeling the way in which you have felt in the Advent season, what would you suggest to be sort of helpful guide in keeping us oriented in that season?
I think just being around godly people that will continue to remind you of the promises of God, God's faithfulness. I think it's the continual pursuit to say, Lord, I am hurting. Mm-hmm. I think that's a just misunderstanding at times, that like you always have to have it together.
Right.
And there's days and times and seasons where you're like, I don't know, Lord, this is hard.
Right.
And you don't seem to be there. And what it really comes down to is you're not producing the results that I want you to produce. Mm. And I don't think that's necessarily a bad attitude. It's just an incorrect mm-hmm. attitude, because if you look throughout God's word, we don't always see everything coming together well. I think it might have been Natalie at baptisms who said that becoming a Christian won't make your life perfect, but it'll make it better. I wish I, like what she said, I was like, oh, that is such a great line. Like, my life's not going to be perfect, but it's going to be better.
Yeah.
It'll be walking with the Lord.
Deeper and richer, for sure. Yeah. So in this Christmas season, what are some of the practices that you have decided to pick up this year that have been helpful to make this a season where it's just not wasteful, you know?
Like outside of watching a Christmas movie every night? Or
oh, that's a great practice. that is honestly great practice to sort of, yeah, in this season. But
you know, I think it's I just want to be with my family. And my older two kids are at college, and so I'm thankful. One of them comes home tonight, and then the other one comes home Friday. Right. And so then the six of us will be all back together again. And I'm just looking forward to just having family time and just being able to talk about all the ways the Lord has been faithful and working in our lives together and just sharing.
That's really good.
The gifts of the Lord.
Yeah. Yeah. This is a season which family becomes important. And especially if you have a good family you depend upon,
yeah,
it becomes really important. And for those who don't, you know, you do have a church family and you do have a community to step into who will be your family. I'm always impressed at the Christmas season of how many people I know who are single or live alone or are widowed that get invited to other Calvary families for Christmas season. I'm super thankful for that.
Yeah.
That the church family is that robust, that we have eyes to see individuals who need to be invited into family during the Christmas season.
Yeah. It's a time where people give so much, and I'm so thankful for Calvary, like, because that is one thing I think the church does a really good job is they love people.
Right.
And they're generous with their time and their resources to bless the community. I know I feel that at different times.
Right.
Throughout the year.
Okay, so you have a unique perspective because you sit at the tip of the spear in this for so many years, but the heart of Advent, we haven't talked about that on the podcast. Oh. We've had so many heart of Advents that we sort of try to pause, we try to spin less.
Give more,
worship fully.
That's right.
That's sort of the tagline. This year we are doing meal packing. To try to solve the crisis of food hunger in the world. It's amazing to me that when John said in his video that there's enough food to go around, but so many people are starving to death. It's just incredible to think about sort of that. What has been, in the years that you have led and helped navigate Calvary or in our hearts, the heart of Advent, what has been some of your favorite heart of Advent moments?
You know, I think one of the things is typically around January 5th, I get the final number of what was given.
Right.
And I am blown away by the generosity. And that the church follows the leadership and says, wow, we're really trying to make an impact. And the way that the church shows up for the heart of Advent over the years, and I just think of all the different things that we have done from providing life-protecting gear for our police officers to getting behind the affordable housing movement that we even did last year and the different ways that we were able to make an impact in that.
I liked how when we sponsored Haitian kids for their school year long ago.
Well, we also did Haitian pastors.
Pastors, yep.
We just paid for their seminary so that they could come back and be pastors in Haiti. I loved how we've done that with our, and typically we're always doing this with our global partners and even with the packing, meals packing, we're partnering with an umbrella of crew called Unto. And for those at Calvary don't know, over the years at Calvary, I think it was about 10 or 12 years ago, we reached the $1 million mark of giving to the crew families. I'm sure we're close to at least 1.5 and pushing that already of how much we continue to support the members of crew and the ministry they're doing on college campuses. And so I'm just so thankful that we're part of a church that thinks outside the three walls of our building, because the community is so much larger, whether it's here locally and as we've partnered with so many local organizations like EFA and Erie Uplink and the Women's Shelter in Boulder.
Which we do every year outside of even Heart of Advent.
That is true. But yeah,
during Heart of Advent, do that too. Yeah,
we've done those things too.
Yeah, Habitat
and I think it's Food for Hope in Thornton. Yeah. And so we're just so thankful that we have these partners. And then also globally, I even loved what we did with Horizons one year. And we set up some, they were called Lighthouse Ministries.
That was one of the coolest things.
Where people could come and like get their first introduction to church in Lebanon and to hear about Jesus is in these community centers that we helped sponsor. And I mean, the amount of dollars that have come in over Heart of Advent has made a huge difference. And there's even been times we did like building things because we were just in need. And then now we have a greater opportunity to leverage the facilities we have.
Right.
One year we did the third campus
as
Heart of Advent. And now we have a third campus that's thriving out in Thornton.
Yeah, that's really true. I love your perspective with the Heart of Advent. And, you know, it's another time for Calvary for you. Remember that there's a couple ways to give during the Christmas season that really contribute and continue the work of the ministry of the gospel here at Calvary. You can go to calvarybible.com/give. There's the general fund, there's the Heart of Advent, and then there's the love gift.
And we've also created that you can text to give now as well.
On all three of those.
So 84321.
I'm amazed that you have that memorized already.
And then you just put in your dollar amount, and you can even say Advent, and that'll go directly to the Advent fund, or Love, and that goes to the Love gift as well.
Yeah.
If you don't put anything, it just goes to the general fund.
So Advent contributes to the heart of Advent this year.
That's the word you text when you do it, and it'll go directly to that fund.
That's super cool. What a gift of technology to be able to do that.
You know, there's a new generation that's a little bit younger than I, and I think they're going to be more inclined to give in different ways. And so we're thinking through, hey, how do we care for the people that are coming to Calvary? Because this is a really important part of our spiritual life.
Yeah, that's really good, Gary. Thank you. So as we wrap up today, I would like to have you sort of close us out with your reflections on love and what that means for the people of Calvary as we move into the next two more weeks of Christmas season here, how we think about love, how we demonstrate love, how we live in the reality that we are loved in this season. Take it away.
You know, I just want the people of Calvary to know that the Lord loves them so much. Whatever you're going through right now, and I think that was my hope in the preach, was that I was just trying to connect with as many people as I could in the audience, and maybe one of those five stories, whether they just have a hardened heart. Well, the Lord's there for that, and he wants to soften it and open you up to his truths. Or maybe, you know, you just feel like you've walked away from the Lord. The Lord is there, open arms to bring you back in. Maybe you just hurt so bad, knowing that the Lord wants to bring you healing. Like, that's just my desire, is that, like, we would all grow in our understanding of what the Lord's done for us. And the gift of Jesus is so big that he loves us so much that he was willing to come, live among us, humble himself, make himself human, a servant, go to the cross, to the point of death, so that he could live. And then, a response to the love of God, we would then love others. And then the community would see that the people of Calvary have this deep love for all people, for the world, that they would be curious and want to come and see what Jesus has done for them.
Gary, that's a great way to end this podcast. If you have any questions for us, always go to YouTube. You can go into underneath the video and ask us a question. We would love to answer any question you have about love, about Advent season, about your curiosity of the stories that Gary preached, as well as go to calvarybible.com, click your campus, stay connected, get connected by going to Calvary during this Christmas season. Also, like Gary said, there's a way in which you can give in this season. That number is 84321.
Yeah.
And you can text to give there or go to calvarybible.com/advent or actually /Christmas for all the information there. And then finally, I don't know if you know this, so many people have already commented on that they're reading along with me, but there is a scripture reading for Advent season here at Calvary. It's right there under that link /Christmas. And we'd love to have you read along with us as we prepare our hearts for the arrival of Jesus once again in this Christmas season and longing for the second arrival of him.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Come quickly, Lord.
Come quickly.
Yeah.
Calvary, have a great day, and we look forward to connecting with you really soon and seeing you even sooner.